to the Old Testament scriptures and to the book of Psalms. And the psalm that we read, Psalm 91, the whole psalm is going to be our text this morning. Let's just read the first few verses. Psalm 91, he who dwells, and Psalm 57 that we've just sung, the psalmist has been speaking also of making a knowing of God as a shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, and so on. Now, last New Year's Eve, it is that I received a text from my son Mark, and the text had an attachment, and the attachment was a picture of his wife, Christine. It had been taken that evening just before she was about to enter the ICU in the hospital that she works in, and also in particular the COVID-19 ward, and as she began her night shift. And if it was the case that I hadn't known who the text was from, I would have had difficulty saying who exactly the picture he was off. And the reason is that Christine was covered from head to hand to feet in what's called PPE. And it is that we know that that means personal protective equipment. And it is that it's something, PPE, that it continues to be a hot button topic for many as COVID-19 continues. It is that all of us, no doubt, have not had to wear a full, as it were, covering of PPE in our own circumstances. But even as is evident here, we're all being called by the government to wear masks whenever it is that we're in one another's presence. And as always, there are questions, and these questions have been asked with regard to the effectiveness of wearing masks. You can hear one doctor say one thing and another doctor say the exact opposite, but it is that we continue to wear the masks. But then it is that there are those who are concerned about the erosion of their civil liberties, and it is that they themselves, on that basis, would question the correctness or otherwise of wearing masks at this time. But it is that I want to take the assertions concerning PPE, the doubts that many have concerning personal protective equipment, and even the very provision itself and the cost involved concerning personal protective equipment. And I want to raise this, as it were, to another level. I want to raise this from the earthly and the mundane, and it is that I want to spend a little time considering something of the personal protective equipment that is ours in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even at this level, from this biblical perspective, it is that you will find those amongst us who will say, well, I don't need the protection of Christ. I don't need the spiritual clothing that God has provided for me through his Son. And then it is that there will be those who will say outright, and that's why it is that many are not found in church, far less because of the lockdown and so on, but it is that even in the best of times, there are many in the Lord's day who would rather be found out in the world rather than being found with God's people, and it is that they would say, even by their very lack of presence, I don't want what it is that you're offering. But if that's the case with you this morning, the wearing or the not wearing of what God has provided in Christ, it is that that will have eternal consequences for the destiny of your own soul, whether it is that you spend eternity with God or whether it is that you will spend eternity as one who is lost as an individual. Now, it is that the New Testament scriptures point very clearly to the importance of being clothed with Jesus Christ. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 13 and verse 14, and Paul says there, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Now, the words that are translated put on there, literally they could be translated as you're to invest in clothing. It is that you're not to be found naked in your sin, but it is that you should be found clothed from top to toe with the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that we know in terms of who God is, he is the Holy One of Israel, that we need to be protected spiritually. And so it is that Paul is saying to the Christians in Rome, it is that if you want to make no provision for the flesh and do what it is that the flesh often tempts you to do, then the only way that you can achieve this is by being clothed with Jesus Christ. Now, it is that we could spend time considering something of the nature of that clothing, as it were, but that's another sermon for another time. But it is that this morning, that here in Psalm 91, that the psalmist, and I think it's Moses who wrote this psalm, there are various reasons, we don't have time to consider this, but it is that Moses here in Psalm 91, he reminds the church in every age of the protection that God gives to his people. And it is that at this time of pandemic and with all the concerns and difficulties that lockdowns and curfews bring about, it is that I think that this is the most appropriate and applicable psalm at this stage in the ongoing pandemic. Now, maybe it is already you're questioning, you're saying, how? Why is that the case? Well, notice how specific this psalm is in terms of the dangers that can face us. Look at verse 3. It is that he speaks about the deadly pestilence. In verse 5, he speaks about the terror of the night. In verse 6, he speaks about the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. In verse 7, he speaks about 1,000 or 10,000 falling in front of you. And then in verse 10, he says, no plague. No plague will come near your tent. Then in verse 14, I will deliver him, I will protect him, because he knows my name. And then in verse 15, I will answer him, I will be with him in trouble, I will rescue him and honor him. And what it is that we're finding here is that it speaks specifically about sickness and plague. Therefore, it applies directly to the situation in which we find ourselves in today. It's full of God's promises to us as his people for us to claim at any time, whether it's a pandemic or otherwise. And it presents us with the fact of God's protective care of his people. And so by implication, it's teaching us the dire situation and the consequences of those who do not avail themselves of the protection that God provides for us richly in Jesus Christ. So what I want to do in the time that's left to us is to consider what I've called the component parts of this PPE. Just like any personal protective equipment, there are various component parts that make it up, and you have to take each part and put them on physically. And only when it is that you've put each part on are you covered, as it were, and kept safe, hopefully from top to toe. So let's take these one at a time. First component part, I think, in terms of what God provides for us and needs us to put on is trust. And it's a very specific trust. Look at what we read there in the end of verse 2. The psalmist says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's where it all begins. That's what it really boils down to, is that we would challenge ourselves and say, in the midst of these circumstances and in the midst of the unfolding providence of God in my life, am I trusting God? Am I trusting that he's doing all things well? Am I trusting that even though in the midst of difficulties of whatever sort, that God will bring me out at the end, that it will be for my good and for his glory? And it's important to note here that when it is that we're talking about trusting God, that we're also talking about trusting Jesus, the Son of God. In other words, it's not enough simply to put trust in some sort of impersonal force that is out there. But specifically, the trust has to be in terms of the person of Jesus Christ and who it is that God has presented to us concerning his Son. And if it is that you really want to know this morning of God's protective care of your soul, you must trust the one true God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the one who has revealed himself to be the Savior of sinners through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, how does this trust manifest itself? Well, the important thing is in terms of our location. What do I mean by that? Well, look at what he says in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If it is that we want to know of the benefits that the psalmist speaks about in verse 1, therefore it is that we need to know of a change of location. It's like as we came from our own homes and came to this church service today, there's a change of location, and that means that we know of certain things happening here and hopefully God's blessing upon us. And it's the same here in terms of what the psalmist is saying. He says, stop dwelling where it is that you are in terms of your own strength and in terms of what you think is a safe dwelling, but find yourselves being relocated and be found dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, be found dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. And he's saying to us that if you want to know of this rest that I'm speaking about and this rest in the shadow of the Almighty, if you want to know of God's protective care, you've got to first dwell in God's dwelling place and to be found where it is that God declares that he will be found. Now, isn't that something that's so applicable to our own time? We hear a lot on the news feeds about a sheltering in place these days. How many times this week we've heard Rob Ford and others say, stay at home, don't go out, only go out for groceries and essentials. And it is that we know how that has curtailed much of our day-to-day experience. And sheltering, I think, in place is particularly important. It would seem to be one of the ways in which the virus is spread if we don't shelter. What came to mind, my background coming from the UK, is of the air raid shelters, particularly in England, you'll find from the Second World War, that people would have in their backyards. And it is that when the sirens would go, telling them that the bombers were coming over to drop bombs, they had to change their location, change it from their own home, go to the backyard and down into the bomb shelter to be protected as the bombs fell. But the Bible tells us about something even more important than sheltering in place, and that is to shelter in the Lord. And it's not just to shelter in the Lord, but it's to make that shelter your dwelling place. In other words, you've to stay there. You've to live there. That's to be your domicile throughout the days that God would give you in this scene of time. You see, the authorities may say to us today, stay in your homes. And it is that they may start to begin to enforce that in stricter degree. But it is that God's word says to us today, in the midst of COVID and whatever else it is you're experiencing, stay in the Lord. Dwell in the Lord. Be found in God's house. Be found as one who is experiencing fellowship with none other than your Creator and your Savior. Now, at times, it's difficult to stay in our homes. And it is that we, at times, need to leave the shelter of our homes. But the wonderful truth is this, that you need never leave the shelter of God's care. Why? Because the Scripture tells us that God is our dwelling, and as our dwelling, He is our refuge and our fortress. It is that, that's what we read in verse 2 of 91. He is my refuge and my fortress. But go to Psalm 46. And the psalmist is saying the same thing there. And it is that basically he's saying there that God can be trusted when it is that the whole world seems to go crazy. That God can be trusted when it seems as though our world, our environment, our lives are coming apart. When it is that we feel that society is coming apart at the seams and so on. You think of what the psalmist says in Psalm 46. He says, will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And the picture that's painted for us there is of a cataclysmic earthquake in which the whole world is being unmade. The stable mountains are falling into the sea. The chaotic seas are foaming and covering the earth. And really, it's a picture of Genesis 1 in reverse, where all the distinctions between land and sea that God has established, that they're being undone. And it is that it's presented as a picture of the challenges that will face the people of God in most generations. And by showing and painting this picture for us, the Spirit through the psalmist is reminding us of God's power and God's power to protect us against anything. And that in the midst of the most violent upheavals of nature, however it may be, God can be trusted when it is that the whole world seems to go crazy. And you see, that's the great blessing at a time like this. When if it is that we hear this week we're going into curfew or whatever it may be, that if we are in Christ this morning, God is our refuge and our strength. That it is that no matter what happens to us physically, mentally, otherwise, God will protect us. But what's demanded of us is that we must trust Him. Are you trusting Him today? Are you taking Him at His word? Are you leaning upon Jesus Christ? That's the first thing then, trust. Second thing that I think he tells us is a component part of the PPE that God gives us is courage or calmness. Courage or calmness. Look at verses 3-8. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence and so on. And it is that what he's saying to us, as we would experience courage and calmness, that the way that we know of this is that we don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be frightened. Now, this is one of the most repeated commands in the whole Bible. Someone I was reading said that there are 365 occurrences of this command, don't fear, in the scripture, and therefore it is that there's this command for each day of the year, that each day that God gives to us, he's saying to us, don't fear. Now, why shouldn't we fear when it is that there are many in the world who are fearing at this time? What reasons do we have this morning for courage and calmness as at the end of the service we go out into God's providence as it unfolds for us? Well, as we thought of location in the first thing, it is that here we're told about covering. We move from location to covering. And look at verses 3 and 4. It is that we're told there that under his wings you will find refuge. Under the wings of God. The prophet tells us later on that the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. And it is that we are able to know, as it were, of the outstretched arms, the outstretched wings, as it were, of Jesus Christ. Now, it's such a beautiful image that he has been given to us here. It's the image of a mother bird, and she's protecting her children under the cover of her wings. She hides them. They all flee to her. She lifts up her wings, and they flee under her wings. Whatever blast is coming, whatever enemy is coming their way, she takes the full force of the blast for them, and nothing can get at these little birds without going through the mother first. Now, isn't that what God did for us on Calvary? Isn't that what God did for us through the crucifixion of his Son, Jesus Christ? Christ was sent to die on the cross. Christ was sent to cover our sins with his blood. And when it is that he was on that cross, Jesus Christ took the full blast of God's wrath against sin for each one of us here online, wherever we be today. It is that as Christ was on the cross, that he knew of the shockwave, as it were, of the wrath of a holy God. I don't know if you remember last year, the blast that took place in Beirut. And I remember when I saw the first news footage, the first pictures from Beirut. And it is that you could see clearly, immediately after that place exploded, it is that you could see the shockwave spread out through Beirut. And when I first saw it, I thought it reminded me of a small nuclear detonation. The blast could be seen so clearly, and it devastated Beirut. But we're being told here that nothing can get at us, even the blast of sin, even the blast of our own follies. Nothing can get at us without first going through God in Jesus Christ. That it's all been taken and it's all been done. And we may feel as though we're shell-shocked today for whatever reason. But the wonderful thing is that we are still able to know of continuing in this life in and through Christ. Psalm 57, the psalm that we sang just before we began. Listen to David here. He says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Are you doing that today? Is that your experience of your God today? That he's providing this protection for you? He's providing this covering for you? And is it that you're moving your location and you're taking a shelter in the shadow of his wings? You see, this disaster, the coronavirus, it will pass. It will pass. Something else may take over, but corona itself, it will pass. But the wonderful thing is that in the meantime, you can take refuge in the shadow of God's wings. That you can be found as you deal with all the fallout from this virus, physically, mentally, whatever. If it is that you're under the shadow of the wings of Almighty God, you're in a place of refuge. And then a second reason I think we're told here that we don't need to fear, that we can know of courage and calmness, is because God, we're told, is with us day and night. Look at verses 5 and 6. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies at day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. The psalmist is saying to us, you don't need to fear because God is with you night and day. God is with you 24/7, 365. That pretty much covers all of it. Now, we're all different in terms of our temperament. Some of us are more frightened maybe during the day. It is that we're constantly watching the news feeds and we're tracking the numbers, or we're watching the news reports of how many have died, how many have contracted the virus, and so on. And it may be the case that you're frightened even as you have to venture out for our essentials. But then there are some of us of a different temperament, and we're tempted to be more afraid at night. You wake up in the middle of the night. Just a few weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and the first thing that came into my mind was, my throat feels sore. And as I lay there in the darkness, the thoughts began to spin. Do you have COVID? Is this the beginning of it? And so on. I got up, had a glass of water, and everything was fine. Or what about if you've woken up a few times and it is that you felt a shortness of breath or you felt pressure in your chest? It's easy to worry and wonder and to say, do I have COVID-19? Now, if you're really experiencing the symptoms, the best thing to do is call 911. But if it's just a general wondering or fear, then you need to give that fear, as it were, to the Lord. And you need then to turn over and go back to sleep. That's why we sang Psalm 121. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You know what it means? It means our God works the night shift. Not only does he work the night shift, but he works the day shift. He works 24/7, 365 for eternity. In other words, God stays awake so you don't have to. God stays awake so it is that you can know of peace and rest. God doesn't sleep, which means that you can sleep. And you can sleep assuredly knowing that this God has promised that he is always with you. And you can sleep in peace knowing that the Lord watches over you. When you go to bed tonight, whatever time it is that you go to your bed, remember what I said this morning. The Lord is watching over you. Even through the hours of darkness, he is there and he sees you. And another reason that the psalmist tells us why we don't need to fear is that God is with us no matter how bad it gets. Look at verses 7 and 8. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. See, the Bible's clear. It makes a distinction between those who belong to God and those who don't. God, in his common grace, he certainly protects those who don't know him or love him as his people do. But the Bible makes very clear that God is a God who has entered into a special covenant relationship with his people, and it is that he has a special relationship with his adopted children. And it's saying to us that God is with us no matter how bad it gets. A lot of people, and some may think that I exaggerate and emphasize this too much, but I don't think so. Because people have been people. If you're wakening up this morning or this week and you know you've got no work, you know you've not got a salary coming in at the end of the month, a wage at the end of the week, it is that you're afraid concerning your paycheck. It is that you're afraid of getting sick, or even you're afraid of dying. This psalm is telling us that no matter what the body count is around us, whether it be 10,000, whether it be hundreds of thousands, that God is with you in a special way. You don't need to fear as the numbers rise. God is there to love and protect you, and he's with you no matter how bad it gets. Do you believe that this morning? Will you believe that in the coming days? that no matter how bad things get, and we pray that they get better, but if it is that they're going to get worse, do you believe that God is with you? I mean, if you're saying that you're a Christian, if you're saying that you're someone who's trusting in Jesus, you have to believe this. It's part and parcel of what it means to be a follower of Christ and a worshiper of God. That brings us to the third part then of the PPE. We've got trust, we've got courage and calmness. And then it is, thirdly, we've got protection. And that really covers verses 9 to 13. There are some wonderful promises in this section of Psalm 91. And all of them have to do with God's protective care of his people. Look at what he says in verse 9 and 10. He's saying, no harm will befall you. No harm will befall you. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, because you've changed your location, because it is that you're trusting him, because it is that you're under the shadow of his wings, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague shall come near your tent. You're absolutely safe. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can penetrate God's defenses. Why? Because nothing is bigger than God. Psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 16, puts it like this. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, your place in this generation, in this year, at this time, is in accordance with the sovereign will of God. Why? Because he knows the moment of your conception. He's decreed it. He knows that he knew the day of your birth, and he knows the day of your death. And nothing but nothing can change the purpose of God and his will for your life. And so there is no safer place for you to be this morning than in the center of God's will for you. Do you know what God's will is for you? Are you asking him daily, what steps would you have me take? Where is it that you would have me go? How is it that you would have me be at this difficult time? No doubt most of us witnessed either at the time or thereafter some of the events that took place in Washington in the United States and the storming of Congress. And one of the things that struck me, it wasn't just the fact that there were the Stars and Stripes flag there, but it's the fact that also there was a flag of Old Dixie, the Confederate flag, and there were those who were marching around waving the Confederate flag. The Civil War was alive and well as far as they were concerned. So I took a little bit of time, because the one who came to mind was Stonewall Jackson, the Confederate general in the Civil War. And I looked up something about him because it was in the back of my memory. And it seems that on May the 2nd, 1863, that Jackson was seriously wounded and his left arm was amputated the next day. Now, his pastor and the military chaplain was a guy called Reverend Lacey. And he came to the tent where it is that Jackson was found and after his amputation. And it seems that the pastor said to Jackson, "Oh, General, what a calamity." Jackson thanked him. And this is what he said, and I quote, "You see me severely wounded, but not depressed, not unhappy. I believe that it has been done according to God's holy will, and I will acquiesce entirely in it. You may think it strange, but you never saw me more perfectly contented than I am today." Wow. There he is. His left arm, and you can imagine what it must have been like in the 1860s in terms of surgery and recovery. And it is that he's saying, "You will never see me more perfectly contented than I am today." Why? Because it is that his understanding of life and his life is in terms of the working of God's will. In other words, he had a firm trust in God's providence. He knew that his wound was God's will, and he would wait until glory for the moment when God would reveal the reasons why it is that happened to him. He told Lacey, and this is quite astounding, when he was lying wounded in the field, and when he's been carried off the field by a stretcher, this is what he said. I gave myself up into the hands of the Heavenly Father without a fear. It's been a precious experience to me that I was brought face to face with death and found all was well. Oh, man. It has been a precious experience to me that I was brought face to face with death and all was well. Can you and I say that? Can you and I say that when we're frightened that if we take the virus, and if it should be the virus that in God's will that takes us out of this world, can we say like Jackson, I've been brought face to face with death, but you know, as I've located in Christ, as it is that I've known of calmness and courage, as it is that I've come under the wings of the Almighty and I'm found under the shadow of his wings, you know what? I found that all is well. In other words, when you're in Christ, and only when you're in Christ, you know that you're absolutely safe in the hands of Almighty God. That is, he has decreed the moment of your conception. He has also decreed the day, the moment, the hour, the second, the nanosecond when you must depart this world. And if you're in Christ, you're safe. Are you in Christ today? Are you sheltering under the shadow of his wings? But look at the next thing he says in verses 11 to 12. He's saying not only that, but he's saying God's angels are guarding you. Now some of you may be going, whoa, Alan, that's taking it a bit too far. No, that's what the scripture says. Verse 11, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, we know that these verses and others in this psalm and throughout the Psalter, they're messianic. They're pointing to the psalmist's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know how it is that Satan himself sought to take these words from Psalm 91 and use them in the temptation of Christ. But when it is that they're applied to us, it's saying to us that God, though he's in heaven, he doesn't watch over us from afar, but it is that he sends his own personal security team to his people, that he guards his angels to command you in all your ways. Did you see one of the photos from the inside of a Congress? And it is that there was a window, and there were two people here, and there was one there, and it looked as though they were Secret Service agents. And the thing that characterized them was that their guns out pointing at someone or something. That, in a sense, and just in a little sense, is like the security team that God has for each one of us. You're saying that's exaggerating. No, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, the special promise that he gives concerning our children. He says, See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see my face of my Father who is in heaven. So even our children, there are angels to protect them. Do you believe that there are angels here with us this morning? I do. We may not see them. We may not even sense them, but I believe that they are here. That wherever it is that the body of Christ is found, and particularly in the place and the attitude of the worship of God, that we are protected by the Word and by the promises of the Word, and those promises made manifest even through the presence of angels in our midst. You go back to the Old Testament and the prophet Elijah, and it is Elisha, and it is that his terrified servant comes to him and says, we're surrounded by oppressive forces. We're surrounded by enemies. And what does the prophet do? He says to him, look, servant, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He prays to the Lord and he says, open his eyes, Lord. And the Lord answers the prayer, opens his eyes, And the servant looks up and he sees round about them the horsemen and the chariots of Israel. He sees the mighty armies and angelic beings there as protection. My friends, lots of that understanding perspective of what it means to worship, that God is with us by his word, by his spirit, and he's with us in terms of his heavenly host. And then it is that he gives us power over the enemy. He says in verse 13, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. The enemy seeks to kill and destroy, but you needn't be afraid. Listen to Jesus in Luke 12. I tell you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. What's Jesus saying? Basically this: fear God and no one or nothing else. Fear your Creator and no one and nothing else. Fear God, worship him, reverence him. And when it is that you do that, you needn't fear anything else in life. Because when you are in Christ, no harm will befall you. God's angels are guarding you, and God gives you power over the enemy. And then very quickly, let's move to the fourth part of this clothing. First part is trust. Second part is courage and calmness. The third part is protection. And then verses 14 and 16, the final part is rest. Look at what we read there. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Very quickly then, in closing, there are three things here, I think, in this section. How does God show his love? Firstly, he rescues us and protects us. Verse 14, I will protect him. I will deliver him. We love him because he first loved us. And God offers special protective care to his people that the world doesn't enjoy. Doesn't mean that Christians never get sick or die. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying that in the midst of all the circumstances of life, that God is with us. Second thing is that God answers the prayers of his people. Verse 15, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Now, primarily these are referring to Christ. But it is that they are also have reference to us as God's people. One of the great joys of being a Christian is being able to pray to God and to know of our prayers being answered. And it is that I truly believe that we will never know until we get to heaven how many people were spared from COVID-19 because it is that we prayed for them, because it is that we prayed that they be kept safe, because it is that we prayed that no plague would come near their house. In other words, your prayers make a difference. If it is that we believe in a God who hears and answers prayer, then we must believe this. And then the third thing here is that God gives eternal life to his people. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's God's greatest gift to each one of us. No matter how long or short you live here on earth, this life is only a breath compared to eternity. Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So let's apply it in closing. Even if you get COVID-19, even if it is that you get sick, even if it is that you know that you're going to die, if you're a Christian, you're still in the hand of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing can touch your justification by faith in Christ. Nothing can touch your salvation. Nothing can take away God's forgiveness of your sins. You can rest in God's love, knowing that God gives his people eternal life, and nothing can take us out of the palm of God's hand. Do you believe that today? Even if it is, I've spoken with Christians and they're concerned, what if I take Alzheimer's? What if it is that I become senile and I start to say things that I wouldn't normally say and so on? What about that? And my response to them is that nothing can touch you. Even when it is that your mind begins to falter, even when it is that disease causes your mind and the output of your mind to change, if you are in Christ, God will take you to be with you, to be with Him in heaven. I can't promise you that you won't get COVID-19. I can't promise you that you'll not get cancer or any other thing. I can't promise you that you won't get sick or die. I wish I could. But I can't promise you that. Why? Because God doesn't promise you that. He doesn't promise me that. But what I can promise you is, what God does promise is something better. God promises us that when we're in Christ, no matter what happens, He will watch over us. And that means, therefore, for those of us who are concerned about COVID-19, concerned about loved ones, this: God will either keep you from the coronavirus, He will either heal you from the coronavirus, or He will bring you safely home. That's it. Either way, you know of blessing in this life and much more in the life to come. May it be that for all of us, that as we would go home today in situations where we have to put our personal protection equipment on, masks, gloves, whatever it may be, let's all challenge ourselves and ask ourselves if we are clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ, because only then will we know of the promises that the Scripture presents us with. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we thank You for the words of Psalm 91. And we thank You that they have been a blessing to Your people in many ages. And we do pray that for each one of us, either here physically or online, that we would consider, even now, how it is that we are clothed. We may be clothed in our Sunday best. We may be clothed in the finest of what the world is able to offer in terms of material, in terms of tailored cut, and so on. But if it is that we are not clothed with Christ, Your word tells us that we are clothed in filthy rags. So we pray that each one of us, even now, that if it is that is the way with us, that we would change our location, that we might put our trust and our hope in a crucified and risen Lord. And we pray that no matter what the days ahead hold for us, that we might be able to say that You do all things well. Bless these things to us, forgive our sins, and we ask this in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.